Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
My names are from Thailand today. The client's name is Mally, and the mom's name is Ploy. So Mally starts her session. She's booked 90 minutes, and she says that she's open to everything, which is 9 services. And then she says, but I'm a little bit organized in that I want to talk to my mom. And she says, can you do that? And I said, well, just a sec. So I hear mom quickly say to me, I'm dead. And I went, oh, you're looking for medium. And she goes, yes, is that not obvious? And she's not rude. Mm. She's asking, a good question. And I said, I get people that are alive and they're people ask for soul contracts between them and dead people. And she goes, oh my God. She says, I'm sorry. She says, I assumed if I gave you the name that you're a medium and that you're doing medium. It's one of the services. And I said, that's okay. I said, one of the services is soul contracts. And she goes, I get your point. She says, what you're saying is that it's fair and that you have to ask and that my head is in one place and that your head is in the same place as me. You're going through a process of something. And I said, yeah. It comes up later in the session how her mom, Ploy, talks to Mally about the way that she changes the way that she thinks. So if I just now go back a little bit to the beginning of that session, Ploy says to me, I'd like to go back into her childhood. Could you ask her if that would be okay with her if I give validations and talk about that time frame? She says, I want to do that because she's looking for some answers to some things. And I said, okay. So I said to Mally, mom's asking for permission. She wants to do childhood as she's doing validations because we do validations at the beginning of the session. And Mally says, that's perfect. She says, because it is something that I'm really hoping my mom's going to address. So I listened to Ploy for a while, and then I repeat it to Mally. And this is some of the stuff that comes out. She begins at the very beginning by saying things to Mally like that she has brothers and sisters. She explains that there was religion in the family and that her mom and her dad were both raised in religion and they raised their children in religion. I'm not going to say what religion, I don't think it's important, but that does come up. And it's important to say because Ploy goes in and explains that part of what she has learned in her own life about religion affects the way that she parents and the way that she partners and the way that she thinks and what her core beliefs are. So, for example, there's a core belief from the religion that you obey your parents, that you do not challenge your parents. So both mom and dad believe, like Ploy and her husband, believe that as their parents, that they get to behave in the way they want without their children challenging that because they're supposed to respect their parents, including
obey
their parents, including where there's verbal abuse that's happening. And it's just like, no, that abuse is part of how we parent. And your responsibility as a good child and a religious child is that you obey your parents, no matter what we do. And so I say all of this to Mally, and she goes, I'm here for it. She goes, I'm so here to hear this. She goes, I really appreciate it. Continue. She says, I've got questions in my head. And she says, and I'm looking for validations about what I've learned. So she goes, you can keep talking to mom. Keep going. Chat with Ploy. So Ploy says to me, I've learned since I've crossed over that I believed that those things. She says, I was just in them. She says, so I criticized. And she starts naming the forms of verbal abuse. I ordered all the time. I didn't ask for things. I barked things. Even if they were good things, like get your lunch or so they didn't forget to bring it to school. So instead of saying something like your lunch is on the counter, don't forget it, honey, it was pick up your lunch. Like it was, so things were ordered. And when I said this to Molly, sometimes she was there, you know, Kelly, there was a smile on her face like, okay, this is mom. This is a recognition. I'm happy that you're getting this connection. And then 2 seconds later, there would be crying because she would be like, this hurts to remember this. Mm-hmm. And I said to her many times, because it was a long session, just cry when you want to and just smile when you want to. I'm not going to think anything is wrong. I think what you're doing is that you're just processing things and just be in your own space processing. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to keep doing the channeling, and I will check in on you and say, are you okay? I will do that from time to time, but it won't interrupt what I'm doing. I'll continue to do my job. Ploy says to me that she really trained all of her children to become people pleasers under that whole thing of obey your parents. However, not all of the children followed into being the people pleaser like Molly did. Some of them came out and instead of doing the fawning, they just stayed in total freeze. So they just didn't speak. Like they were very quiet and very withdrawn and kept their head down to stay out of the line of fire. And there were other children in the family that went into the line of fire and thought, I'm not doing that. I'm going to step in and I'm fighting. And so there was a lot of verbal abuse and what did she say? Raising voices, like where the volume was up. And Molly said, that's very true. And she said, as a result of that, she could see that in Molly's adult life that she had to go to therapy to figure out that people could raise their voice. It didn't always mean that they were raising their voice in abuse, but she struggled going into loud places or having a boss say something loudly or in frustration, but not necessarily at Molly, but about something. And Molly struggled very much because it was like she felt she was right back at home again. So she would go straight into what did I do wrong and what can I do and how do I fix this? So I explained all of that to Molly and she said, that's very true. And I appreciate hearing that. Could you ask my mom a little bit more? Could you go in a little bit more? And that's often the way she would say things was, could you just ask her a little bit more? But she wouldn't say to me when I asked her, well, what is it that you'd like to ask? I don't know. So she would just say the, I don't know, but want Ploy to be able to answer questions without her really directly asking it. Yeah. So I said to Ploy, what is she wanting? And she said, I was angry that she was a people pleaser. And I said, but you trained her to be one. And she goes, yeah, but I was really mad at it. And I said, okay, can you explain that? And she said, yeah. She said, I just saw in my daughter, in Molly, the true desire to love. She said, I saw the innocence. And it reminded me of my own. And she said, now, Karen, I don't think on earth that I was going to sit down and tell anybody that. I don't think I ever sat down with a friend and said, I hate my daughter because she reminds me of the childhood I lost. She said, I didn't do that. She says, but I know it now. And she says, so when I saw that innocence in her face or in her actions, and I felt rage. She said, it was frustrating for me because underneath it was my sadness. But there was no way I was going to let anybody see that I felt sad or I would lose control. And she said, and I would look over at my partner and go, well, I can't lose control to him. She says, so I had to stay in fight mode. And she says, so I looked at her and I do see now that I punished her for her innocence, for reflecting back to me my own. I told Molly that and she looked at me and she went, that's it. That's it right there. She says, I've learned that that's possibly what was my mom was feeling. She says, I've been studying this and reading and trying to figure out my life. And she said, I heard this, I read this, and I thought, is it possible that my mom could have felt all of these things and that this is something that she was just doing to me? And she said, but not really seeing me as me, like not seeing me as Mally. And she says, this would help me understand why I felt invisible, why as an adult, I still feel like, and I look around to see, am I invisible to people? Are they going to listen to me? Are they going to interrupt me? Are they going to talk over me? Do they care about what I think? Are they going to say they do and then turn around and do the exact opposite, which is constantly what happened in my family. People would say they heard me, or I would think they did because they would say, yeah, okay, I can be there for that. Or yeah, okay, I can do that. And then turn around and not show up. And I would think, did they not even hear me? So she said, I'm here to hear more and more of it. She says, because I wanted to understand if this really was what my mom was going through. And she says, and I've even sat down and thought, what if it is? What if it actually was all of this? Could I show up today and actually connect to my mom and actually feel empathy for her situation, for what she went through? Could I look back now and go, okay, so all of this behavior is pain. Can I have empathy for that, but still feel all the rest of my feelings, like my own hurt, my own sadness, my own anger, my own stuff? And she says, Karen, she says, I think I can. She says, because you're not rushing me. She said, I'm so glad that I took a 90-minute booking because I knew that I needed to not feel rushed and have you like, hurry up, give me my messages, move on. I've got this. She said, I wanted to sit here and see if I could. So then she goes, okay. She goes, tell mom that I can feel this empathy for her. I can. And I can still feel all of my feelings. So I said, okay, she hears you. Like, this is perfect. So she goes, okay, then I'm ready for mom to continue. So Ploy says, okay. She says, when she left home, she went to work first. She just was so lost and not knowing who she was. And she goes, and I thought, what a failure. What a failure that she didn't go to university, that she didn't get an education, that she didn't go to even less than meaning if you go to a college, even that she didn't go to a college. And I said that to Mally, and she goes, oh shit, if I questioned whether or not you ever had my mother, which I'm not, she says, that is absolutely something that would be my mother. The big failure of not going to university, but also that I had to go to work and pay for it because my parents were not going to support me because I'm a woman, because I'm female. So they paid for my brother's education, but they were never going to pay for any of the female education in the house. We were going to pay for it on our own if we wanted that, because it was like, you know, not necessary.
But still a failure?
Yeah.
So that's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the whole thing about our mom.
Yeah, I'm pointing it out for listeners who might be like, yeah, of course, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. That makes no sense.
And I'm pausing because some people listening to that will go, holy shit. And if that's you, I would encourage you to truly hit pause if you need to go back and rewind this so that you can listen to Kelly say again.
It's discrimination.
Thank you. So, and I'll continue the story, but if you need to do your pausing, do your pausing. So, Ploy says to me, okay, so she goes out and she goes to work, and she actually has to work for quite a few years to even make enough money so that she can actually save, so that she can go to school. But she doesn't know for many years while she's doing different jobs, really who she is or what she wants. And that's all part of what was lacking in childhood. The ability to create identity in a family that is so seeped in unhealthy beliefs, that how do you ever teach your children or foster self-esteem? So I said that to Mally, and she goes, oh, she goes, wow, that hit me. She goes, that helps me feel compassion for myself. She says, I want to cry. She says, because this is the first time somebody's telling me what happened to me. And I don't know how you're managing to do this, but I can't tell you what it's doing for me because it's my mom and it's exactly what I went through in my life. But it's like you're seeing my life. You're the witness that I never got to validate me. And she says, that's very true. She says, I worked a lot of jobs. And she says, I went from job to job, just not knowing what I wanted to do, what made me happy. And she says, and I just needed to get by. I just needed to pay bills. And then eventually I did make some money so that I could save. And I did go to school. And she says, but continue. She says, I just want, oh, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out the trap there as well. Mm-hmm. And the conflicting information that society and family systems give us, mm-hmm. in that, okay, you don't know who you are, so go get a job. Mm-hmm. Going from job to job when you don't know what you love is actually a very successful thing to do. Mm-hmm. Go from job to job and figure out what elements you loved in each of them, which elements you would definitely not want to repeat again, right? Because part of moving through different experiences is figuring out what feels best for me? What do I feel passionate about? What environments do I like to be in? It's a part of getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. However, we look at it and go, oh, they can't even hold a job down. So we're not sure who we are. We're a failure for not going to school, even though you have to work to afford school in most of the world. And if I dare figure out who I am, that's considered a failure. But if I stay in a job that I don't love and isn't paying well, that's also considered a failure. So where is the route for success then?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Agreed. So Ploy then says to her, she goes to school and she's so frustrated by life that she goes into psychology.
Yeah. Let's understand it.
Yes. And so she goes into psychology to understand it. So I said to her, oh, you're a therapist. And she goes, yes, I'm a social worker. And I said, okay.
Not the same thing for anyone listening.
That's how it came out. But thank you for explaining. So, and maybe that, maybe truly in the session, now that you say that, Kelly, Mally was correcting what her mom was saying.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't mean it condescending. They're just not the same thing.
Right.
That's like saying, I'm in the trades. Great. I need a plumber. Can I hire you? Sure. I'm an electrician.
Right.
They don't do the same thing.
Exactly. Okay. So her mom says she goes in and studies and wants to understand her life. And wants to understand her childhood, wants to understand her mom, wants to figure out dad and siblings and dynamics, and decides this is something I need to figure out for me. Could I, in the process, help other people? Could I actually influence and help others in that process? So Mally says, that's absolutely spot on. That's where I've come to. And she says, this is really validating. She says that mom has seen this. You have no idea when my mom passed. You don't know this part of where mom knows what school I went to. She says, so you're just validating for me that mom has been going along in my life with me. And then Ploy says she learned in psychology that people could have different opinions. And that is not something that her family tolerated. Dad had to have an opinion and mom could fight that one, but none of the children could have an opinion. And I repeated that to her and she went, oh, that was every day, all day, same fight on repeat. And she said, whatever dad's opinion was, mommy either had to people please it. And, you know, that might be peace in the house for a few hours or maybe even 10 minutes. And then something else would come out and mom would decide not this one. And then mom would go at it. But if anybody else in the family, any of the children did that, both mom and dad would attack that child. And she said, so they didn't just have like one scapegoat. They would just go at whatever child was going to challenge either one of them. and they teamed up against the children. And she said, we didn't really figure that out, Karen. She said, because some of the children in the family, not her, but her siblings, to this day, still challenge dad and get the same thing, even though mom's not alive. It's an attack back. And she says, I just couldn't stick around. I just couldn't stay for it anymore. And then Ploy says, I know. And she says, and that was the best decision of your life, was that you couldn't stick around for it anymore. And she said, that was your first big act of self-love, self-care, and building your own self-esteem. This brings us to the end of the session, where Mom Ploy is saying to her daughter, Mally, how much self-love she had to figure out in all of those jobs and all of those little moves each time she quit, each time she did a resume, each time she applied for another job. All of those steps were building her own self-esteem and having her own boundaries for the first time in different environments that gave it to her or didn't, where she either walked away for the reason that this is much like my family, or I'm walking away just because this shoe doesn't fit. And she says to Mally, all of those steps was you discovering who you are, because your parents, me, your still alive father, and your siblings don't give you and would never be able to give you. And she just says to me near the end of the session, Mally, she says, I'd like to hear one more thing from my mom. And I thought, wow, in 9 minutes, that's a lot. But what is it that we missed? And Ploy says, I am so proud of you. And Mally looks at me and says, that's what I was hoping for. And she says, I don't know that I can ever expect that my mom could love me. And she says, but I wondered if she was proud. And I said, yeah. I said, her comment is proud of you. And she says, that's it. That's really what I came here for. She said, I wanted the evidence and to know she had seen my life and my decisions and the growth that I actually made. Not just that I changed jobs, but what I got out of all of that.
That's a hard session.
Oh, yeah.
As beautiful as it is.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that'll resonate with probably a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. How they were raised, the belief systems that they were handed, the actions that they've wanted to take for themselves, maybe thought about and got too scared to take, or if they mirrored a lot of Mally's life. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.